بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and seek His help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah the Most High from the evils of our own selves and from our wicked deeds. Whomever Allah guides cannot be misguided, and whomever He leads astray cannot be guided. And I testify that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, without a partner or associate. And I further testify that Muhammad is His slave and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah's salah and salam also be granted to the prophets, to the believers of the prophet's pure family, and to all of his noble companions. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. All who you believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not except in a state of Islam. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. O mankind, be dutiful to your Rabb Allah, who created you from a single person, Adam. And from him, Adam, he created his wife, Eve. And from them both, he created many men and women. And fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut the relations of the wombs. Surely Allah is ever an all watcher over you. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطَعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. O who you believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him and speak always the truth. He will direct you to do righteous good deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved a great success. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. To proceed, the most truthful speech is that of Allah's book, the Quran, and that the best of guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the worst of evils are the muhdathat, the newly invented matters in the deen, and every innovated matter in the deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a dalala, is a misguidance, and every dalala is in the fire of hell. Alhamdulillah, the Lord of all that exists, and all success be for the muttaqeen. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who bestowed upon us this meeting, which I ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit and a reminder for myself first and for all those who listen to it. And I ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a blessed meeting and to grant us all the fiqh in deen, the understanding of the deen, and to be firmly established upon it, and to give advice to Allah and to His slaves, and that He subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us all from the evil inclinations of ourselves, and to correct our hearts and deeds, and that He subhanahu wa ta'ala gives victory to His deen and makes His word prevailing, and that He the Most High corrects the situations of the Muslims everywhere. Then we remind ourselves, as we should always be reminded, that Allah Azza wa Jal created the creation for the sole purpose of submitting and worshipping Him alone, and that He subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messengers for that purpose, as He the Most High said in Surah Al-Dhariyat verse 56, وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. And I Allah created none the jinns and the humans except they should worship me alone. This is the great matter, and this is the great wisdom, to worship Him alone, ascribing nothing and or no one with His worship. And this means to have firm belief in Him, magnify Him, and having sincerity to Him in all of our actions and sayings, fulfilling His commands, abstaining from His prohibitions. This is the worship for which we, mankind, were created to manifest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us aimlessly. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Chapter 23, verse 115. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Did you think that we had created you in clay without any purpose, and that you would not be brought back to us? This is an exclamation of denial, meaning we didn't create you in play. قال الله تعالى also in Surah Al-Qiyamah, Chapter 75, Verse 36, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدَى. Does man think that he will be left Suda, neglected, not commanded, not rewarded, not recompensed? Man is created to worship the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and the one who created everything, so that man knows of Allah knows of him by his names and attributes, and to single him alone in worship and obey him. قال الله تعالى in Surah Fatir, verse 15, يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد. O mankind, it is you who stand in need of Allah, but Allah is rich, worthy of all praise. Then He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, the leader of them, and the final and last messenger, and their imam, Muhammad bin Abdullah, the prophet, the messenger Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, alayhi salatu wassalam, send them for a great task, to call people to manifest the purpose for which they had been created, and that is the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, to single Allah alone in worship and to obey Him, turning the hearts to Him, believing in Him and His messengers, testifying in truth to that which they brought, submitting to His commands and abstaining from His prohibitions, loving Him, for He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the only true God who deserves to be worshipped alone. So mankind are to turn to Him and to follow His messengers. So this is the incumbent duty upon us all, to single Allah alone in worship, in our dua, in our fasting, in our salah, in our fear, in our hope, in our charities, in all of our worships, submit to Him alone, since He is the one who deserves all of that. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Hajj in chapter 22 verse 62, ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه هو الباطل. That is because Allah, He is the truth, and what they invoke besides Him, it is falsehood, and verily Allah, He is the Most High, the Most Great. We worship Him and we seek His help. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Fatiha, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. You alone do we worship, and you alone we seek for help. This is the great task, this is the great purpose. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Bayyin, verse 5, chapter 98 verse 5, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ. And they were commanded not but they should worship Allah and worship none but Him alone. And that this worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be attained except by following what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam brought from Allah azza wa jal. This constitutes the true victory to Allah's deen. Through Tawheed and through true following of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala Allah ta'ala in Surah Muhammad in chapter 47 verse 7. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. O who you believe, if you help in the cause of Allah, He will help you and make your foothold firm. So this is conditional steadfastness on this earth. Making our foothold firm is conditional if we help in the cause of Allah, ascribing to Tawheed and following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Ar-Rum in chapter 30 verse 47, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And as for the believers, it was incumbent upon us to help them. The believers who established the Tawheed and what it necessitates. قال الله تعالى in this respect in Surah Al-Hajj verses 40 and 41, وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور. Verily Allah will help those who help His cause. Truly Allah is all strong, almighty. Those who help His cause, who are they? Those who, if we give them power in the land, order the establishment of Salah and pay zakah and enjoy the ma'roof. And forbid the munkar, all that Islam has forbidden. And with Allah rests the end of all matters of creatures. To single Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship is the most important priority. And this is to be emphasized highly in our times now, since priorities are getting mixed up by many due to the following of desires. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى in Surah An-Nur chapter 24 verse 55, وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا. Allah has promised those among you who believe and do righteous good deeds that He will certainly grant them succession to the present rulers in the earth, as He granted it to those before them, and that He will grant them the authority to practice their religion, that which He has chosen for them, meaning Islam. And He will surely give them in exchange a safe security. Contemplate. And He will surely give them in exchange a safe security after their fear, provided they, the believers, worship Me and don't associate anything in worship with Me. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Surah Ghafir, chapter 40, verse 55, إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلُنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. Verily, we will indeed make victorious our messengers and those who believe in this world's life and on the day when the witnesses will stand true. Verily, we will indeed make victorious our messengers and those who believe in this world's life and on the day when the witnesses will stand forth. So Allah promised this ummah victory and help and steadfastness, firm hold on earth, if they provided that they will fulfill His rights and help His cause and hold to His rope of Tawheed and ascribe to His Sharia. He subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the best of books and the final revelation, and that is the Quran, and made it an explanation for everything and a guidance and mercy and glad tidings to the Muslims. Qala Allahu ta'ala in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 89, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. And we have sent down to you the book as an exposition of everything, a guidance, a mercy, and glad tidings for those who have submitted themselves to Allah as Muslims. So the Quran is an exposition of everything, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made clear to mankind what they need to know from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this entire ummah is called to withhold and to take by its book and the sunnah of its Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is affirmed by saying and by action, and that they recommend each other to that in the truth, and to persevere and forbear as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Asr in chapter 102, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And by us, time, verily man is in loss, except What are the exceptions? Except those who believe and do righteous good deeds and recommend one another to the truth and recommend one another to patience. These are the successful ones, the true believers. Those who have firm belief in Allah, in His Lordship, in His divinity, in His names and attributes, and who do righteous deeds, because the iman, faith, comprises saying and action, the saying of the heart and the tongue, and the actions of the heart and the body parts. And so deeds are, righteous deeds are from iman. And then the third method is to recommend one another to the truth, and this is from the actions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted it because of its importance, calling to the truth, recommending one another to it, enjoining what is right, and forbidding what is wrong in the correct and legal ways. All of this is part of iman. And the caller to Allah and the doer will be tested, and therefore there is a need for sabr, for patient perseverance. And therefore, choosing any way to hasten any matter will be counterproductive. Because the caller to Allah Azza wa Jal if he rushes to achieve what he calls for, then he may be in opposition to the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore the consequences could be very harmful to him, to those around him, to those being called, and to the society at large, and to the ummah as well, as a whole. So the first and foremost importance that the caller to Allah, after this introduction, it becomes clear that his task is to call the people to Tawheed, to single Allah alone in worship, and that this will bring the correctness of the status of the Muslims. Any other way of reform that will put the Tawheed aside and raise banners of any nature will fail. The painful part is that the ummah at large may pay dearly for the failure of such banners, because the impact will involve the Ummah at large. And that the fitan, the afflictions which the Ummah is going through, testify to their strong fact that any other priority other than the priority of calling people to Tawheed is a failure and very harmful. The truth constitutes that which the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام held to as his companions and the followers on this path in all walks of life. They are the just, quote unquote, medium path. The just path between the two extremes, the extreme of negligence and the extreme of excessiveness, al-ghulu. The followers of this just path are the ones who are saved and secure from these two extremes. Their characteristics include the fact that they follow the clear text, and that they don't follow the mutashabih, which could be unclear, but rather they take the mutashabih to that which is clear, and thus everything will become clear. This is the just path. فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Imran, as to those in their hearts there is deviation, they follow that which is unclear. So as for those in whose hearts there is a deviation from the truth, they follow that which is not entirely clear thereof, seeking fitna. So the followers of the just path are those who sincerely follow the method of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions in all of their affairs. They don't give precedence to their inclinations or their political desires, or they're to the leaders of their groups. They are the ones who patiently persevere on this path. Because this is the path of the prophets. And that there can be no steadfastness or firm hold on the earth except by following this path. The deviation of people, therefore, from the path of the Salaf has led in the past and in the present to the emergence of sects and parties such that the highest priority to them in these sects is to fulfill and manifest the objective of the sect and or the group, and that led them to deform the meanings of the texts to fit their objectives. The reason for this is, number one, following lowly desires and the corrupt intentions. Another reason is ignorance and lack of knowledge. The third reason, and we touched about it earlier, following the unclear of the texts and leaving the clear, and resorting to figurative interpretations or changing the meaning of the texts in order to fit into the objective of the respective inclination or sect. This led into two types of main directions. First, the direction of negligence regarding the deen, and that the deen should be made fit, quote unquote, to the times. And that what matters is to do good, quote unquote, and live this life accordingly. And that's why we see some who call to modify Islam in order to fit the current times. And if you examine this call carefully, you cannot but see that it is a following of desire. And when desires change, it is expected that they will call for further changes in order to go hand in hand with the changes of desires. And this is because of the ignorance of man. If he is left to his own whims, then it will be compounded ignorance. The second main direction of deviation is excessiveness. Al-ghulu. قال الله تعالى warning about this in the Noble Quran in Surah An-Nisa in chapter 4 verse 171. يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق. O people of the book, don't exceed the limits in your religion nor say of Allah aught but the truth. So with the people of the book, the excessiveness, exceeding the limits, led them to give divinity to Jesus alayhi salam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam warned this ummah, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوْ فِي الدِّينِ. Beware, keep away from exceeding the limits in the deen. Verily, the destruction of those before you, فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ الْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ. The destruction of those before you, verily was due to the exceeding of limits regarding the deen. From the manifestation of this excessiveness is the unrestricted declaration of takfir. And which in reality is due to the sum of the reasons we mentioned earlier. Since it is an extension to the ideology of the Khawarij, of the dissidents, the rebellions, who in the name of reform and Islah ended up killing the third Khalifa, Uthman bin Affan. The same ideology built upon following the mutashabih, the unclear, and not returning it, referring it to the muhkam, to the clear, led them to their conclusions. And the impact of this on this ummah in the past and in the present is very vivid. Led to rebellion in many Muslim countries and to bloodshed, and it's still continuing. This also led to violence. The spectrum of it is also vivid in many parts of the Muslim world and outside the Muslim world. The impact on the da'wah and on the reputation of Islam is sadly a real matter, very harmful. This excessiveness also led to bigoted imitation of men. But who are the men? Mostly not scholars. But magnified by their followers because their ideology fits in. This also led to the spread of ill opinion concerning the reliable scholars, because how could these people be refrained when they have concluded and implied the takfir unrestrictedly on all the rulers, and not only that, but to the everyone who works in their governments, his blood is halal to shed. So would they then refrain from having an ill opinion concerning the scholars when they accuse the scholars who follow the path of the Salaf as being, quote, agents, end of quote, for the regimes? And thus call the Muslims to turn away from them and not to take the ilm. When they drop them in this way, they will have the field empty for them. And this phenomenon began very early in history, when many of the known and respected scholars of Islam were named as those who don't know the current affairs, they are only scholars of hayd, menses, and postpartum bleeding. The same in our times had been said. And the youth were called to follow the so-called Mashayikh al-Sahwa, scholars of the revival, end of quote, meaning the politicians. And they called the reliable scholars, they called them, they don't know the status quo. They don't understand the status quo, meaning the, quote, politics. Because the agenda is confrontation, based on political platform. So there arose therefore the ill opinion concerning the reliable scholars of Islam in our times. Amongst these two main deviant directions, one can see that the lack of knowledge and the following of desires led them themselves into a mistaken understanding even of what they call the current affairs. How is this? Because they all are mistaken in diagnosing the illness of the Ummah. So think about it this way, contemplate it. Some of them consider that the illness and the disease of the Ummah is in the plotting of its enemies and their overwhelming status. So, what is the remedy to them? They said the remedy is busying the Muslims with the enemies and his plots and his sayings and his statements and magazines, newspapers, analysis, explanations behind the news. They thought this is the remedy. Another thought focused in their opinion upon the disease which lies in the tyranny of the tyrant rulers in some Muslim countries. So they brought the remedy, quote unquote, to overthrow these tyrants and to pump hatred and incite confrontation with them, ridding the Ummah from them. This is the cure for the Ummah. A third thinking went to diagnose the disease as it lies in the splitting of the Muslims, meaning in bodies. So they thought that the cure and the remedy is to unite them so that they become large in number. This is really what we see in the Muslim world. Three diagnostic features, all of them are wrong, and they come from these main deviations. All of them are wrong in diagnosing the disease. They are wrong even in the remedy, not only the diagnosis. So we can summarize now. You can see there a group thinking that the illness of the Ummah is in the plotting and prevalence of the enemies. So they thought that they should busy Muslims with information on current affairs and news, and that a person such informed knows what is wrong with the Ummah. A second group thinking that the present rulers are the problem of the Ummah, and they see the treatment as getting rid of these rulers, and they support revolt, even bloodshed, violence, you name it. Three, a group thinking or the disease of the Ummah is in the physical disunity of it, and they think that the treatment is to guide the Ummah and unite them so that they would be many, irrespective of their affiliation, of their creed, etc. As to the first group, they fail, and the failure lies in the certainty in the book of Allah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us in Surah Al Imran in chapter 3 verse 120, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. If you fear Allah truly and on the path of Allah, لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا, then the plots of the mockery of the enemies will be in vain. So if you remain patient and become muttaqeen, not the least harm will their coming do to you. So that's why they are wrong in their assessment. The second group, that the disease of the Ummah lies in the presence of tyrant rulers. They forgot that the tyranny of rulers is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to the sins of the ruled. The oppressing rulers are a punishment from Allah on the wrongdoers because of the sins of the ruled, the deviation of the ruled. So the illness is with the ruled. Listen to what Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. I will repeat, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. In Surah Al-An'am verse 129, and thus do we make the ظالمين supporters and helpers one to another because of what they used to earn. This is the point of evidence, because of what that which they used to earn. So therefore the disease is in the ruled themselves. And as Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah stated, he said, and contemplate the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that where He made the kings and the people of authority and whom they put in authority of the same kind as their deeds. In fact, it is as if their deeds were manifested in the forms of their kings and their rulers. So if they are upright, then their kings will be as such. And if they turn away, then their kings will turn away. Then he further added, فحكمةالله, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تأبى, refuses, أن يولى علينا, that authority be established upon us in these times. And what times he's talking about? Not our times, his times. That the wisdom of Allah, it's not befitting for the wisdom of Allah to assign in our times, his times, quote unquote, in the 7th century after Hijrah, the like of Muawiyah and the like of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, not to mention the like of Abi Bakr and the like of Umar, but rather our rulers are in accordance with our status and rank. And the rulers of those before us accordingly. So, if at his times he is saying this, knowing who is Muawiyah, knowing who is Umar bin Abdul Aziz, it is not befitting to the wisdom of Allah. Think of this very carefully, Muslims. It is not befitting that he assigns upon us rulers. Of this like, but it is in accordance with our deeds, as he mentioned earlier. But the political groups of our times had twisted the matter. So the illness is in us. As to the mistake of assessment by the third group, those who call for physical unity, irregardless of the creed of people. And yes, we have from them now many figures, known, famous, who belong to political groups, and who are eloquent in speech. They call for physical unity irrespective of innovated methodologies of persons and or groups, because they want to increase the numbers. And this is their wrong assessment, is evident in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 9, verse 25, وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. And on the day of Hunayn, the battle of Hunayn, when you rejoiced at your great number, but it availed you not, and the earth vast as it is was straitened for you, then you turn back in flight. So this is proven wrong. For multitude and physical unity with sins together, they don't mix. Multitude with sins, innovations, deviant beliefs, this is not a solution. And this is the evidence from the Quran. The disease is in us, because we are away from Allah. And the cure is to return to Allah Azza wa Jalla. and the correctness of the matter cannot succeed and cannot prevail unless we take the path of the messengers and the change, putting the priorities in perspective. The highest priority is Tawheed. And disassociation from shirk. Once this is established, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give victory to us, will change the situation and see us fit to have those whom He sees fit to be in authority. Other than that, it is painful failure upon painful failure, and fitan and afflictions and splittings. And for each of us should know one thing in this reminder to myself first, and for everyone who is listening. Many people forget that in the grave we will be asked about three things. Who is your Lord? What is your deen? Who is your messenger? So let us think of what we are busying ourselves with. Are these things we are busying ourselves with fitting to help us in the answer in the grave? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one free of all imperfection, the Most High, to guide me and guide everyone who is listening to this, to the truth, and make us firmly established on it. And to make of this a benefit for myself in this life and the next one, and for all of you. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.